Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
My wife makes fun of me on a regular basis because I can get lost. I was coming home from visiting somebody just a few weeks ago, and I took the wrong turn three times. And I had GPS on at that time. That tells you how bad I can be sometimes, okay? So those of you that want to ride with me, you take your life in your own hands. But listen, anytime we took a youth trip when I was a youth pastor or even a family trip, we always said that it was not an official trip until we had turned around at least once. I have seen many a parking lot just for about 30 seconds and then just come right back out. I have done it plenty of times. Even going home at times, I will get my mind focused on things. And you know how people with ADD, they can get hyper-fixated on something. I'm driving down the road. I'm paying attention to everything. And I'm thinking about 15 different things at once. And all of a sudden, there goes my turn. Oh, and I know where I live, but I still get lost. I have some issues at that time, numerous occasions that I can mention to you. Just the other day, I went to the hospital, and as I was trying to get home, I was trying to follow the instructions by the GPS on the way home, and I kept making wrong turns. Again, I turned around three times in one day, something that is not good. I finally got to the point where I just turned off Google Maps and said, "Lord, lead me in Jesus' name." But most of the time, I have to return to a place that I know in order to find my way again. Y'all see where I'm, y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Y'all see where I'm going now. Sometimes you got to get back to where you were before you can go to where you're supposed to be. There's a maze in Florida that I love. We used to vacation in Panama City a lot when I was growing up. And my parents had a tradition. We would go to this little maze place, and it was a giant, I'm talking about giant maze, probably four football fields big. And we would go through this maze, and I loved it because I like figuring stuff out, and I would run through that thing and try to get done as fast as possible, but I can't tell you how many times I had to turn around and all that. I took Amy and DJ and Shelby one year when we were on vacation, and we never went back because Amy was ready to just camp out and spend the rest of her vacation inside of that maze because she was tired of it and she just wanted to quit. DJ and I were the competitive ones. We were racing the girls versus the boys, and me and DJ were running. DJ was little at the time. Believe it or not, he was little at one time. And I ended up carrying him on my shoulders at one point trying to get through this maze. That lasted about 2 minutes. No more. But we ended up having to go back to the beginning of the entire maze and find our way through that way. I remember plenty of times like that. Sometimes you had to return back to the beginning in order to get back on track. Abram, our central figure, later his name will become Abraham, but Abram, our central figure in this story, started a journey over in chapter 12. In chapter 12 of Genesis, God told Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." He gave him no other instructions. Now, we know that his wife was standing over next to him when God was telling him this. Ask him what we're supposed to do. Ask him what turn we're supposed to make. But of course, men, we don't ask for directions. Abram, he just said, God said, "Go and leave." And Abram went, "Okay." It took off. Meanwhile, Sarah's in the back seat going, "Hey, do you know where you're going? Do you know where we're going to go? Where's the rest stop at? Where are we going to go?" And all that. Please forgive me if y'all get offended by that. I'm just joking. But he gave him no other instructions. Abram, like a typical guy, didn't want any more details. He didn't get any more details. He just started going. By the grace of God and by his spiritual compass, Abram ended up going and finding the exact place where he needed to be. He reached a land called Shechem, and God made him a promise in Genesis 12:7 that says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. It goes on to say that he started moving again and heading south. He was supposed to, because he moved south and he set up camp in the hills. It actually says that the Lord says, "Go and put your foot on the land, and I will give where you tread." And he went and he found another place and he set up a camp again in the hill country and he made another altar. And I love what it says when he set up camp, where he set up camp. In Genesis 12:8, it says, with Bethel, he set up camp with Bethel to the west and with Ai to the east. Now, can I get a little technical on you? What I find so cool about this scripture is that the word Bethel, the city of Bethel, the name of Bethel, actually means house of God. Now, that's pretty cool in itself, right? House of God. He had the house of God to his west. One wrong turn away from the house of God would take him to a heap of ruins. Okay, I guess I'm the only one impressed by that, how God worked that out. Because, you know, we can be on the right path all day long, and we can be within eyeshot of the house of God, but if we take a wrong turn, we'll end up in a heap of ruins. We can be within eyeshot of the altar, but all of a sudden we turn away from it, and we end up in a trash heap. I just thought it was amazing that with one wrong turn, Abraham could have ended up either in the house of God or in the heap of ruins. This is for free. This is not even a part of my message. That's just part of the coolness of the message here. But he built another altar there, and it says he worshiped the Lord, then continued south. Now see, this is when Abram's spiritual compass broke. Everybody say broke. This is where his spiritual compass broke. All of a sudden it breaks and famine hit the land. The Bible says that famine hit the land and something happens inside of Abram. It's as if everything God had told him was just erased out of his brain. Because God told him, "I will give you this land. I will give you this area. I will take care of you." All of a sudden, a famine hit, and the Bible actually says that the famine forced him to leave where he was. And all of a sudden, the famine hit, and Abram started, he went from faith to fear in less than 2.6 seconds. All of a sudden, the fear started to take over him. All the promises that God had given him were gone. They leaked out of his brain somehow. All the faith that he had in God disappeared. The altars that he had built and worshiped at, he had forgotten about them all. The last time he moved, God wasn't the one. He was not the one to tell him to do it. He moved simply because of the circumstance he was in. This time we don't see God give him any instructions or tell him to do anything. But in Genesis 12:10, we see where it says, "Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land." Instead of acting out of... You never ask God's opinion. Something happened where all of a sudden things just went crazy in your life, went crazy in your family. A bill came in that you didn't expect. A sickness was diagnosed that you had no idea about. And instead of reacting with faith on the promises that God has given you before, all of a sudden you act out of fear. And you make decisions that end up hurting your own walk with God because you don't trust in Him the way you should have. Anybody ever been there other than me? I've been there plenty of times. where I've made decisions based on what I thought was right, what I think I needed to do for my family, what I think I needed to do for my job, what I think I need, and I never asked God one question. When struggle comes, we can't look to ourselves. We can't start going, I. We got to say, God, God, God. We got to say, lead us, Lord. Lead me in my situation. And the thing is, God may tell us to do something that sounds crazy, because I'm sure staying in a place where there is a famine seemed crazy to Abram. It seemed out of ordinary and out of character. God's not going to make me starve. What did we just read? I've never seen God's people begging for bread. God's children begging for bread. God will take care of us. Listen, instead of acting out of faith, he acted out of fear. God told him, I have given you this land, not that land. Not that land over in Egypt. This land. This land is yours. That's not where I told you to go. That's not where I meant for you to go. The New Living Translation even says it this way. He lived as a foreigner. God does not want you to live as a foreigner in your own promised land. God doesn't want you to live in a way that makes you secondary. He wants you to live and prosper in the land that he tells you to be at, in the land that he leads you to. Are you with me, church? I promise you, I'm getting to the message. This is still all introduction, by the way. Some of you may be sitting there going, well, Pastor Aaron, why is it so bad that he goes to Egypt? Why? See, that's why I love you as a church. You always ask the best questions. But he said, you may be sitting there asking that question, and because the reason why it's bad is because Egypt was known as the big bad wolf of that time. Egypt was the big bad wolf, the big country that would go in and they would oppress and they would enslave the people around them. Throughout Scripture, the Egyptian nation is used to teach lessons to the people of God through hardship and pain. God would use Egypt to correct his people. The Bible tells us all of this. The whole story of Abram and Egypt is a foreshadowing of the story that we read about just a book over in Exodus of Moses and Egypt. Do you realize that? Because both men did the exact same thing. Both men did the exact same thing. Both men reacted to what they thought was best. Abram thought it was best that he go and try to find food in Egypt. Moses thought it was best that he try to lead the Israelite people by going out and killing an Egyptian man. He thought that was the way that they were going to be set free. They both did things their own way, and they both failed. Both men compromised the promise and the plan of God and their own character for an immediate solution that was right in front of their eyes. Are you with me? Both men were the cause of plagues that were brought upon the nation of Egypt. Later on, when we hear what Abram does, it says that plagues were brought on Egypt because of him, because he lied to the Pharaoh and told him, hey, this is not my wife, this is my sister. And then next thing you know, the Pharaoh says, well, she's going to be my wife then. And he takes her to be his wife. And God punishes the nation of Egypt with plagues. The same thing happened with Moses when all of a sudden he comes in and he says, let my people go. And then God uses plagues in order to make that happen. Are you with me? God used plagues to run both of those men out of Egypt. Both men were blessed physically and financially when they left. You know, when you're in a place where you're not supposed to be and you decide, you know what, I'm not supposed to be here and I need to follow God, he's going to bless you as you walk out the door. Are you with me? He's going to let you know, hey, you're making the right decision and I'm going to take care of you. Because when Abram left, the Pharaoh just showered him with gifts of livestock, gold, and silver. What happened when the Israelites left Egypt? The people gave them gold and silver and livestock and fruit and money and everything else. Listen, it's a foreshadowing of what happens later on. Abram was going through it first. He was doing the exact same thing. Abram compromised and risked the promise of God and the purity of his own wife out of fear. tells us that he was so afraid. He was so afraid that the people would see his wife, because she was a pretty young thing. She was a pretty woman. And he was afraid that the people of Egypt would see his wife and say, I want that woman for myself. But she's married, so I'm going to get rid of the husband. So he said, tell everybody you're my sister. And she agreed to it. That way, they won't kill me. In other words, or really, they would actually have to come to me in order to give me a dowry if they wanted anything from you. So it might benefit us. He compromised his promise. He compromised his character. And he compromised and put the purity of his own wife in question out of fear. God had promised him descendants even though his wife was barren in Genesis 12, 7, where he says that I will. I've got to do something to save myself. What has broken? See, his spiritual compass was broken because he started acting out of fear rather than faith. Can I ask you a question today? What has broken your spiritual compass today? What decisions are you making based on fear? What decisions are you making based on greed? What decisions are you making based on lust or based on what you want, what this flesh wants? What decisions are you making that has broken your spiritual compass? What has caused you to walk away from the promises of God only to compromise and jeopardize your spiritual destiny? See, Abram had to walk away from the promised land of God in order to go and get what he wanted. How many of us have walked away from the promise of God because we thought that we knew better? We, like Abram, start to value our own opinion sometimes in our own heart more than we do the Word of God and the leading of God. We forget to involve God in the process and start walking towards Egypt. You want to know why? Because we're afraid God won't come through. Or we think, I know better in this situation. I can handle this. We think, well, I'm a self-made person. No, you're not. God has been with you every step of the way. You didn't do anything. God may have used you to carry out some things, but He is the one that causes the increase in your life. He is the one that causes the growth in your heart. He is the one that blesses us. But He's also the one that corrects us. Are you with me? What are some things that has caused you to walk away from the promise of God? If we can learn anything from Abram in this decision to go to Egypt, in his decision to go to Egypt, we can learn this. We have to not only involve God in the process, but allow Him to lead us through that same process. We have to make decisions based on His will, not ours. On His desires, not ours. Psalm 37, 32. You may know this one. 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. His guidance. We're not supposed to make a decision without first asking God, what is it you want in my life? Well, Pastor Aaron, does that mean that I've got to ask about everything? Why not? He knows everything better than we do. He created every situation. He knows every situation. He knows every in. He knows every out. He knows how to guide and how to lead. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, all omnipresent. He is everywhere at once, and he knows how to handle things. Don't compromise your destiny and walk away from your promise simply because you want to do what you think is right. Ask God what he thinks is right. Ask God what his leading is. You'll end up in Egypt. You see, another reason why Egypt was a bad place to go is because everywhere in Scripture, Egypt was looked at. It represents, in the Old Testament, it represents bondage and sin. Egypt represents bondage and sin. When you walk away from the promise of God, you're always walking towards bondage to something. Are you with me? If you walk away doing what you think is right, you're going to end up in Egypt, a place of bondage and fear, enslaved to the very things that God has promised to set you free from. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you in your way in every day of your life. Every step you take. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth. Some of you may be sitting there saying, that's great, Pastor, but what happens if I've already walked away? What happens if I'm not living in the promised land right now? What happens if I've already walked away from God and I've lost my way? That's another good question. If you've already walked away, then you make the journey home the way Abram did. You make the journey home the way Abram did. First thing you do is you return to the promise of God. You return to the promise of God. Genesis 13:3. And he journeyed on from. Into the promised land. And the thing is, he didn't stop on the outskirts of Egypt. He didn't stop on the outskirts of the town or of the country. What he did was he kept moving and got as far away from Egypt as he could. Some of us, the problem that we have and the reason why we keep running back to Egypt is because we want to keep it within eyesight because we enjoyed it too much. Okay, about four of you got that. We enjoy being within eyesight where we can get close to that line where Egypt is. Well, I'm still in the promised land, but I can step over and grab something if I want. I'm still in the promised land, but I can play over here at night and come back over here on Sundays. Are you with me? I'm starting to meddle. Do I need to update my resume? Listen, what Abram didn't realize at the beginning when all of this started was that he was already standing in the favor and in the promise of God the moment the famine arrived. God had already promised him, this is the land I'm going to give to you. This is the promised land. This is the place that I'm going to give to you. He was already standing in the promise, but he decided to chase after something that he thought he needed. God's promise did not disappear because you walk away from it. You can always return to his promise. Are y'all with me on that? I expect a little more reaction from that. What was great for Abraham was that the promise never moved. He did. The promise was never removed from him. Because God doesn't promise something and then take it away from you. God keeps that promise there. All he had to do was return back to the promise that God had given him. God's promise, when we walk away from him, does not disappear because we walk away. His promise of love and joy and peace are still there. No matter how far you drift, no matter how far into Egypt you go, no matter how far into hell you think you may have fell, God's promises are yes and amen, and they are true, and all you have to do is return back to the place of the promise. Come on and give him praise. God did not give up on you because you walked away. This is the problem that many of us have, is we think God is so frustrated and fed up with who we are and the problems that we cause and the mistakes that we make. We think that he gives up on us. God has not given up on you. Let me say that again. God has not, will not ever give up on you. He will always look for you to come home. He will always hold the promise out, waiting for you to come and receive it one more time. He is still calling you. He's still calling out to you today to say, all who call on me in the name of the Lord shall be saved. All who call to me will be saved. All who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be healed, will be filled. Your purpose has not changed and your calling has not been revoked. I still love you. I still care for you. And I still have a promise that is waiting for you to claim. Just come back and return to the promise of God. Second Corinthians says, for all the promises. His promises find their yes in him. There is no faltering in God. There is no failure in God. There's no hatred in God. God is love. When he gives us a promise, he's using his own name to promise that to us. Return to the promise of God, church. If you're with me, say I am. We return to the promise, but then we also need to return to the house of God. Genesis 13:3. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as side of the house of God. He went back to Bethel. Abram journeyed to the house of the Lord. Being in this room makes a difference. Being in the house of God makes a difference. I've talked to multiple people this week that say that they want to come back to church, but they haven't been able to come. Miss Maddie, a few others, Brandon, Miss Brenda, and every one of them said the exact same thing. It's just not the same watching online. And I will be honest with you, it's not. If you can't be in here, that is the next best thing. But there's something about getting back in the house of God, where God dwells, where he lives, and where he moves in amongst his people. It's a time where we connect with each other, where we connect with God. Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir that is sitting here this morning, because you're here on a Sunday morning when it's cold and you may not feel like being here, but you are here. You made the journey. Brother Larry was saying, I just got to make the decision to get up and to go. And you know what? That's right. It is a daily decision that you have to make to be in the house of God. There's something about gathering together. When we begin to treat the house of God as optional, we run the risk of believing that the house of God is unnecessary. This place is not just a building to come to and hang out in. This is a place where lives are changed. Now, God can change lives outside too. But when you got people of like mind and of like spirit together, all of a sudden you get just as excited as the person next to you. I don't care if I'm watching a football game with about 15 people. I was watching a football game with Pastor Trevor last week. I was watching the Super Bowl. And I could not care less about who was going to win that game, really. But Pastor Trevor was excited about some things. And he was yelling and he was hollering. And you know what? I got to yelling and hollering with him. You know why? Because it was contagious. It's the same thing with the Spirit of God. When you get around people of like spirit, it'll be contagious. And we encourage one another. Here is where we build, where we grow stronger, where we build faith, and where we encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, not neglecting the meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Listening with us today, or if you're online and you don't have a regular home, welcome home. Because you belong here. We're here to love God, love people, and make disciples. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to point and make fun of you. We're not here to point out all of your faults and all your failures. We're here to show you, hey, we were just like you, but look how God has changed us. And we can help you the same way. We return to the house of God. I encourage you, if you don't have a church home, make this your home. But then we also need to return to the altar of God. Genesis 13:4. To the place where he had to the altar. The rest of it is worthless. You can walk into a house of God and not repent and not come and get on your knees and say, God, I need you. And it means nothing. You can return to the promised land where God originally brought you. But if you never turn your heart back towards him, it's not going to make a difference. Knowing his promises are true won't matter. Sitting in a pew or in a chair during a service won't do anything but kill a couple of hours on a Sunday. We have to come back to the place where flesh dies. That's what an altar is. It's a sacrifice, a place of sacrifice, a place where something dies. The place where we replace ourself with his spirit, where we cry tears of repentance and cries of victory. The altar is where we cease to matter in our own eyes. It's the place where the words of John the Baptist come alive. Where he says in John 3, it says this. Return to the promise. Remember the promise that God gave you when you were young. Or maybe just last week. Doesn't matter. We need to return to that promise. We need to return to the house of God. If you're not a regular attender of church, I understand coming into a building doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing on a baseball field makes you a baseball pro. I understand that. Coming into this building doesn't make you saved any more than going and sitting inside of an oven makes you a loaf of bread. All right? I understand that. But it's inside of this atmosphere that God molds us and shapes us and creates inside of us the destiny that is in front of us. I don't come here because I have to. I come here because I want God to change me. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I know this is way out there. Nobody even knows about this. Your pastor is not perfect. I know, hold your shock, okay? God is still working on me. He is still shaping me. These messages that I preach are not messages that are just meant for you. It has to preach to me first. And I'll tell you, God was stomping all over my toes in this message. He was reminding me that I need to make decisions based on what He wants, not what I think is best. You don't believe me? You don't know the week that I've had. Because I've got to trust Him. Amy said that the word trust is what she's had running over her head. And I'm going to be honest with you. I even said it when I was praying over Billy Friday night. My days are running together. When I was praying over him, the words that have been running through my head for weeks now has been, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. Why he has been running that word through my head so much lately, I don't know. Except the fact that I know I trust him. And he holds my destiny in his hands. My destiny is not found in a job. My destiny is not found in a person. My destiny is not found in my bank account. My destiny is in the hands of my God and my Savior. And I trust him no matter what he says. And no matter what this world says and what this world does. The last verse of our text in Genesis 13, verse 4. I did a word study on that word called. As I was looking through it, it actually means, and it means he cried for help. Church, how many of you need help today but haven't called on the name of the Lord? Abram had to get to the point to where he returned to a place, I don't know it all. I don't have it figured out. And he had to call on the name of the Lord. He had to cry for help from God. Is that you today? Are you in a place where you need to call on God's name one more time and say, God, I need you today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here today where God is dealing with you and he is saying, listen, that's you. You've been trying to figure it all out yourself. You've been trying to do it on your own. You've been walking towards Egypt the entire time. And you've been trusting in yourself. You've been trusting in what your decisions can do and what you can figure out. But I've already given you the promise. I've already given you my house. And I've already provided an altar for you to lay down everything at. But you've still got to call on me. If you're in this room today and God is dealing with you, maybe your heart is beating a little bit faster, or maybe there's something inside of you that is jumping right now. And right now, maybe you're even got running through your head, I need to get out of this room because something is wrong. Right now, what that is the conviction of God that is speaking into your life saying, hey, he's talking to you. I'm talking, no, it's not me talking. He's saying, I'm speaking to you through the Pastor Aaron right now. And I'm speaking into your life. Right now, he is speaking to you saying, come back to the promise. Return to me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you today, and it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to return. Then I ask you to raise your hand real briefly and put it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Come on. Thank you. Anybody else? In Jesus' name. Come on, saints, be praying. Because God is going to do something here in a minute. Be praying. God is working. God is working. Anybody else? I've had three people that have raised their hand and said, you know what? I need to return home. I need to return home. Thank you. Anybody else? That's four souls that are being brought back to the kingdom today. Come on, anybody else? Don't wait. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the next minute. Right now is your day of opportunity, or is your time of opportunity. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take it a step further. I know this is old-fashioned, and I know it's something that may be outdated, but you know what? The altar is a place where things come to die. It's where our pride comes to die. It's where we think, where it's time where we need to lay things down. If you raise your hand saying, I need to give my life to Christ, I need to return to Him, if that is you today and you want to receive Him and come back home and return back to your promise, then right now I invite you to come and just stand around across this front. Somebody will meet you, and we will pray with you, and we will see you through this. Come on, don't be ashamed. Right now, go ahead and come. Nobody's going to, come on, can we praise God for these that are coming? Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. I need some prayer, some altar workers to come down here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is what it's about, church. This is what church, this is what God is about. This is what return is. In Jesus' name. Come on, stretch your hands out towards these that are up front right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for a return. We pray for that return today. Giving everything they are, giving everything that they have. Thank you, Jesus, for touching lives this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding us that the promise is not gone because of our past. That God, we just got to walk back and receive it again. God, your promise did not disappear, but it is still as true today as it was years ago. It is still true today as it was moments ago when we may have walked away from you. God, in the name of Jesus, pour your spirit out on these. In Jesus' name, God. Come on, pray, church, pray, church, pray, church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, keep praying. Keep praying. Those of you that are praying with them, talk with them. Lead them through a prayer. Do something. Find out what we can do to pray for them. Because it's more than just coming down and just sitting at an altar. We want to make sure that we leave changed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify your name. We praise your name today, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you. Come on, church. Come on, church. If there's somebody that's in your, you're in your seats and you know that you need to be down here right now, I invite you to come. We're not going to leave until everyone's got what they need from God today. In Jesus' name. Come on, hang with me for just another 3 minutes. Come on. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify your name. I'm not enough to let unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Oh, sing, I'm not enough. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? All I want, cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone in the room to say this prayer with me, just so that these are not alone. And so that there may be somebody in your seats that you need to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, today I return to the promise. I return to the house of God. and I return to the altar. I lay it all there. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mistakes. And from this moment on, let me live in the promise of God. Let me live in the destiny that you have prepared for me. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Can we give God praise?
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.